We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
What if you could immerse yourself in a world of overflowing beauty? A world in which you could explore ease with consciousness and the lightness of change? If ordinary isn't enough for you and remarkable is just the beginning, join us to discover a universe that is truly magical. This is Creme de la Creme, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Is now the time for something different? Here are the hosts of Creme de la Creme.
Creme. This is the first show that I've hosted since becoming Creme de la Creme. This is Tamara Yonker, and I am joined today by my colleagues Jonas Svensson, Susanna Mittermeier, Lisa Benson, and Marilyn Bradford. And I believe that Anne Maxwell will be joining us as well. She's not quite on the line yet. I'm excited to be speaking on our topic today, which is trusting you in relationships. So do you excitedly enter into new relationships only to discover that somewhere along the way you end up losing you in order to make the relationship work? Or maybe you're already in a relationship and you struggle to find where you exist in it. What if everything you've learned is right about relationships actually stops you from creating the difference in relationship you desire? And what if trusting you allows you to never sacrifice yourself in relationship again? So we're going to be talking today about what it takes to develop the intimacy with you required to create relationship by choice rather than compromise, create relationship by design so it works for you, so you never have to feel the need to give up you again. And this is a topic that has been really at the forefront of my conversations with clients and in classes, I would say in the last 6 or maybe even 8 months. It's just like everybody is either struggling in relationship, giving up on relationship, or just flat out in the conclusion that it's impossible to create something that's going to work for them. So let's dive in and talk about what else is possible in relationship. I know this is one of my favorite topics. I'll admit it. I feel like I've been obsessed with relationship my whole life, ever since being a child and looking at my parents' relationship, where there was mostly contempt and disdain and abuse and bullying and not a whole lot of gratitude or allowance or even love. And I just remember one of my earliest memories going, well, I'm not going to have anything like that. And then, of course, we do such a good job at duplicating and mimicking our parents' relationships that I created exactly that over and over and over, until I really started striving to create something different. And Access and the tools of Access have been a huge contribution with that. And I think in the last couple of years or so, I've just been having this love affair with intimacy. And I have so much of my attention on what it takes to outcreate separation and judgment so that we can really begin to live in a world that is more communion, more oneness, more intimacy, more creating for all, as opposed to people always entering into relationship based on what they're going to get from it and get from that other person. So, yeah.
Hey, can I ask you a question, Tamara?
Please.
With everything you're saying there, I mean, I know you very well, and I've known you for a while, and got that. How much it has changed for you. So what does trusting you in a relationship mean in all of this, together with all of this?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think, you know, overall, the journey for me in the last almost 4 years now with Access has been really being willing to be vulnerable with myself. And when I showed up in Access, that was not the case at all. I had some fantastic barriers in place and fortresses in place to make sure that I absolutely wasn't intimate with myself and vulnerable with myself. And so the journey over the last few years has been to completely change that in every way possible. And what I've discovered is, as I become vulnerable with me and as I become aware of what it is to choose for me, to not put other people's choices as greater than what I would choose, not put other people's points of view as greater than what I would choose or like to create in my life, and certainly, you know, letting judgment become obsolete in my life where it's no longer real or relevant, what arose naturally out of that process, if you will, was an incredible trust in me. Incredible. I mean, it's the tagline of Access, right? Empowering people to know that you know. And so now I have been taking that trust in me and really applying it in relationship, and found that when I do that, what results, and it wasn't like I set out to do this because I didn't, I just knew I wanted something else, and I was asking lots of questions about what else was possible that I hadn't considered yet. And what I discovered was this delicious intimacy, not only with myself, as a result of trusting me above all else, but this delicious intimacy with the people I interact with. And I don't even mean, you know, specifically romantic relationships. I just mean everybody, family, friends, colleagues, everyone that I interact with now. There's this energy of communion or intimacy or, you know, absence of separation, judgment, whatever you want to call it, that just is there naturally. And I think, is my theory anyway, that if we were to live more this way and trusting ourselves, which includes those five elements of intimacy that we're all very familiar with, honor, trust, allowance, gratitude, and vulnerability, when we live that way with one another, that level of vulnerability, intimacy, communion is an absence of separation is just what is always been there naturally.
Wow.
Maybe that answers your question.
Yes, can I say something about the trust thing?
Yeah.
I was working with that their last client I had right before I got here. He texted an old girlfriend, and now his girlfriend is going, "I can't ever trust you again." And we had this long conversation because I didn't really get what trust was till I got to Access.
Yeah.
About how she's talking about, "I can't trust you basically to be the Ken doll I've decided you ought to be and do it the way I want you to do."
Yeah.
Rather than trust, when you're talking about trust and Access, which has changed so much for me, it's trusting the person to be who they are and do what they do. There was a little funky energy. Well, this person did something very strange. This was the Access 2 and 3 recently. I mean, not in the class, but it was out and about. And I realized, I didn't even have much of a reaction to it. And I have a sort of a relationship with this person, but I realized it was because I trusted her to be who she is, and she does stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like, oh, my God. Or anything, you know, and it's so interesting to operate from trust, which is based in awareness of who we are, trusting ourselves, who another person is, versus trust that's based in the fantasy of what you want a relationship to be or who the other person's supposed to be. And that's changed enormous things for me.
I love that.
And it's also the trust in...
Sorry, go ahead, Sunana.
So it's also the, like, when you talk about trust in others, it's also the trust in knowing who you are. Like, when we talk about relationships, many people don't even ask what works for them. It's mostly about, okay, so what can this other person fulfill for me? What can they be for me? Like the fantasies you mentioned. And not many people use this tool we love using, which is asking questions. Like, okay, so what works for me in relationship? If this is going to be something that expands my life, how would that look like? How would that be like? What kind of person, what kind of energy would contribute to me and expand my life? Like, all those questions are how you learn to trust yourself, to know what you know, and to know what works for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find it fascinating that the more I work with people around this topic of relationship, so many people are functioning from this place of what's in it for me? What am I going to get from this other person?
Yeah.
And that speaks to what you were just saying, Marilyn. When people start saying I can't trust you, it essentially means I've decided what it is that I can get from you, and now you're changing that, and so I'm feeling the scarcity of not being able to get that from you anymore or get that from anyone, and now I need you to change back to the way you were so that I can continue to get the thing that I was getting from you.
My fantasy.
Yeah.
back to who I intended you were.
Yeah, and it's never going to work. I mean, if we enter into relationship with this idea of I'm going to get something from you, and I'm constantly all of my the way that I interact with you is about, you know, ensuring that I'm going to continue to get that thing from you by controlling you or manipulating you or possessing you, or, you know, then it's my point of view that relationship is probably doomed to failure at some point. It turns into power struggles. And because each person is always fighting to who's gonna get more, who's gonna get more from the other, as opposed to what else is possible, entering into the relationship from a space of generosity of spirit, where you can be an allowance of what the person is choosing and who they're being, as you mentioned, Marilyn, and it's really about enjoying myself with them, enjoying them as they enjoy me, and it really
and how many.
So much lightness in that.
Yeah. And how many relationships do we actually see out there that work and that are expansive and light? I mean, really, how many examples do we have? So if you listen to this and go, oh, I don't have the relationship I'm supposed to have, it's not airy fairy light, what if you don't judge yourself? And it's like you probably haven't seen relationships that are really expansive for both people, where they choose somebody that inspires them to be more of who they are. Usually, relationships, when people start them, they start cutting off parts and pieces of themselves and become less and less of themselves, because that's what we've learned. So this is why we have this show, to inspire you that, you know, there is a different possibility for you, and that it's available for you to choose and create. And it's not like, okay, you're going to have it right away. It's really a process of, like we say, trusting you and asking questions to see, like, okay, which drama am I creating here, and what else is possible? So keep choosing. Just having a pet talk here.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want something different, and that's fine too. It's just,
yeah,
exactly. I wanted something different from the get-go. Like, I knew as a child that I wanted something different. I just didn't have a clue what it was going to take to create it. And the tools of access, most especially the five elements of intimacy, have been such a gift in giving me the possibility of, you know, the trust in me and the tools to be able to create something entirely different. What were you going to say, Jonah?
And also, I mean, so obviously, as you all have spoken about, it's like what normally is trust in this reality is that people consider that they can trust people if they are basically doing what you're expecting them to do or what you desire them to do, which is obviously not trust. It's basically more projecting at them that they can only choose to do what you want them to do, otherwise they're wrong. So... Mm-hmm. But that's one side of it. And then I've been so inspired today and walking around asking questions around, like, what does it mean to trust you in a relationship? And we have all these elements and we have all these tools about how trust is extremely different. But what I also came to is trusting you in relationship is also a lot about actually you trusting your knowing and trusting you and what you want to choose in favor of everybody else's point of views about how relationships should be and what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to choose based on what everybody else thinks about relationships in general, and especially about your relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as sort of a takeoff on that, Jonas, is that I think many people, when they go, okay, I'm going to trust me in relationship, I'm going to be who I am, and then instead of asking questions or allowing things to be fluid, they start solidifying it. Well, I'm a person who doesn't let anybody cheat on me, and I'm a person who makes sure that if somebody, you know, and you start, and then it's like, okay, you crossed my line. but they've solidified.
I love that one.
Yeah. And just trusting you to be the fluid being you be, to be changing all the time, and within that, or with that, to still be aware of not giving yourself away to other people's points of view or universes or anything like that.
Yeah.
Totally. And if you are doing that when you're solidifying that, I'm not a person you're cheating on, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the only thing you're doing is you're actually creating separation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
There's another one. You know, the one where people say we need to talk?
Yeah.
You know,
if you're a man,
have you ever heard that in a relationship?
You very, very well know what that means.
That's
in trouble.
One, you know, all the ways. Exactly. You're so in trouble.
We need to talk. Okay.
In other words, you've done something wrong and I need to tell you about it.
Exactly.
It's definitely the trust in the relationship.
What was that?
That will definitely increase the trust in the relationship.
Right.
Right.
Not so much.
If you get that once or twice or three times, you can be in alert mode for that not to happen again, because you basically know you're wrong. And it's both ways.
Yeah.
It's really interesting that it's hard to trust somebody else if you don't trust you as well. And knowing that you will screw up, you will do things that are kind of wrong or does not work for the other person. And what if that is also okay for you to trust that that will happen?
Well, and to me, this trusting you in relationship has a lot to do with eliminating blame or wrongness. Like, what if nobody does anything wrong? I mean, it's like if you're in a conclusion or decision about what the relationship should look like. In other words, there's a right way to do relationship, and then if somebody doesn't do it exactly that way, and you instantly make them wrong and you blame them, you're no longer in a generative space of creating relationship anymore. To me, create relationship, it can be something that's created on a day-to-day basis with a person that you're choosing to be with on a day-to-day basis. So the way to stay in that generative space of expansive possibilities is to no longer function from this place of wrongness or blame. It's not that they did something wrong. It's that they were choosing something for them that maybe didn't work for you, and that invites a conversation, but not necessarily a wrongness and a blame energy. It's very different.
So that sounds... you can have relationships actually as more playful. And there's actually an example of that, you know, a friend of us that we all know. She bought something new for their home, and she was really happy about it. And so the guy comes home, and obviously he doesn't see anything. So, and she goes, you know what, honey? I was really looking forward to you seeing what I just bought. Can we do this again? So can you go outside and come in again and be happy and excited about this? So he does that because he goes like, I don't have a point of view. It makes her happy. Okay. So he goes outside, comes in again. It's really happy and excited about it. And she goes, thank you, honey. So both of them knew it was a total manipulation. It worked. So what if relationship could be way more playful than we thought it could be?
And it can be when wrongness isn't part of the equation.
Yay!
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a break right now, and when we come back, we will talk more about trusting you in relationships.
Your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Tamara Yonker, and I am joined today by my creme de la creme co-hosts and colleagues, Marilyn Bradford, Susanna Mittermeier, Leeson Bengtson, and Jonas Svensson. We are talking about trusting you in relationships. And during the break, Gary Douglas just finished facilitating a level 2 and 3 where they were talking quite a bit, as I was not part of this class, but others of you were, and apparently they were talking quite a bit about relationships. So Marilyn had something that she wanted to share with us about that.
The lovely Blossom was talking about a time when she had started dating, and Gary had said to her, never make a man wrong. And Blossom was like, well, I love men. I don't make men wrong. And then she started monitoring herself and seeing all these sort of little places and innuendos and just tones of voice and things where she actually had. So she was really surprised. And one of the things that it brought up for me was how much we all buy into, well, men are supposed to or women supposed to, whether it's a role you're taking from your parents that you've learned or, you know, culturally, at least the American culture, they make men all that wrong all the time. That's what women are supposed to do, is make men wrong. You know, there's lots of jokes about it. If a tree falls in the forest, is a man still wrong? So it's like, how much, when people enter into relationships, are they entering into patterning, energetic patterning, assumptions, conclusions about who men are, who women are, how you treat each other, what the roles are, all that kind of stuff, which, from my point of view, completely destroys your capacity to trust yourself and to trust the other person to be who they be.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, and since we have one man on, I'm so going to jump in and comment on this. So because I love this direction we're taking, because if we look at it, and if you would be in a relationship, I mean, two people or more people, I don't know, because it doesn't have to be a love relationship. It can also be colleagues or friends or family relationships. But if you are in a relationship where people actually trust themselves and they make choices that are honoring of them and works for them and makes them more happy, not against anyone, just for them. That will actually be way, way, way more fun and a totally different kind of relationship. And if we're looking at that and to create that, and let's see, say that you have a partner, you do want to empower that person to trust themselves. And if you make them wrong over and over and over again, you will basically kill that possibility totally, because you will suffocate them or push them into a corner where they don't dare to be themselves because they're afraid of being made wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you question somebody's choice that they're making for themselves, that erodes their trust in them. That's exactly how it happens. I mean, as children, if our parents are constantly questioning our choices, then our trust in ourselves is eroded. And the same happens in relationships, no matter what kind. It could be a workplace relationship, friends, whatever. If somebody's constantly questioning your choices, then your trust in you is absolutely eroded.
Yeah. And if you would be willing to empower others to trust themselves, I can promise you that your relationship with these people, in whatever form they are, will be way more fun and expansive for you as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I bring up these exact topics. I talk about this a lot. This is something that, as I mentioned before, is my favorite thing to facilitate. And the pushback that I get from people is their... This what we're talking about is a willingness to really, when you say trust the other person to be who they're going to be and choose what they're going to choose and do what they're going to do, people look at me like I'm crazy because they go, well, how can I be secure in my relationship if I'm allowing that person to have that much freedom?
Wow.
Like, you know, like this is where people come from. This is my observance, is that people would rather have somebody in a position where they, you know, there's that control, that possessiveness, that sort of almost ownership, as opposed to really creating something where the other person is free to be who they are and you're free to be who you are. And the dance, that delicious dance that can be created when people are coming together from that space, as opposed to, you know, control and possession and judgment and... So it's interesting that's where a lot of people are coming from, is that freedom is a threat. Freedom in relationship is a threat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what I say? I have two pat phrases I use. When somebody says that one, that they don't feel secure, I'm like, I totally get it. What I would recommend is that you get a goldfish in a bowl. That can be an incredibly secure relationship for you.
Yeah, that's great, Marilyn.
Another one I use is when women say things like, well, I just want him to share emotionally with me and all that. And I say, well, actually, the difficulty is I don't think you really like men. I think you're actually a lesbian. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you want a girlfriend. You don't want a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then that leads to a discussion about all of that. But
sure.
I usually say something a little bit shocking just to get them wakey-wakey, yeah.
And it does seem that, Jonas, is what you were saying, that, you know, men have sort of become the scapegoat in all of this, right? Like, they're the ones who are doing it all wrong. And I see women over and over and over again, you know, turning men into their girlfriends and then complaining and hating it. So I think, you know, women as a collective, maybe it's time for us to start taking responsibility for what we're controlling our men into or manipulating our men into all in the name of security, so that we can feel secure, and yet it's not really ever going to create. It's like you can't get there from here. You're never going to create what you truly desire if you keep functioning from this place of needing security as your utmost goal.
But it's also job security. Like many people, like many women love to use their men as fixing up projects. And, you know, they have their man as their job. And so I think it's also a job security thing. I'm sure it is. That was only funny for me.
But there's a lot of security going on. We use relationship as security, financial, job-wise, as Susanna said. Also, like, feeling like security against being alone, against being not right. Like, if you're not in a relationship, you're kind of wrong, especially if you get a little bit over 40 or something. There's a lot of security behind that, that towards other people, that you feel more worthy if you have one. And we're going through a lot of things where we're not even looking at if it's fun for us to be in a relationship, if it really contributes, or we're just doing kind of on an autopilot because we should have one. And it's okay to complain, and it's okay to project at the partner what they believe in or what they think they say or reject or will not do or do not like. There's a lot of projecting going on instead of like really receiving what that person would like to contribute to your life. And if it's not working, also be willing to talk about that and be willing to see that people do change when we allow them to have space to change with our beautiful points of view. Like, it's hard for people to think or change at all.
And what if that change? I mean, what if we wouldn't be so afraid of our partner or our friend changing based on that we want them to be what they were yesterday so we can trust that they're being the same, so I don't have to be worried about that they're changing, so I don't have to be surprised. And what if we allow that change, and that change would actually show up as something way more fun, way more wonderful, and even more awesome, you know?
Yeah, where
did
we get
this idea?
Well,
that's a lot of what we've done with each other over this past year and a half.
Yeah.
Is to give each one, to give all of us the possibility of changing without any, well, wait a minute, you know, last November you were like this. There really isn't any of that. And it's so cool because it's kind of like, I wonder who's going to show up on the show today.
Not
just
so
individuals,
beautiful.
But who are they going to be? Who am I going to be? I love that.
And I really wonder where we gave up that possibility of people changing to something even more awesome. So we decided it's a better idea to try to stop them from changing so I can have control of what will show up tomorrow.
It's not a fair trade, is in my experience. I mean, been there, done that many, many, many years ago. I did that very same thing. Freedom was threatening in relationship, and so I would try and, you know, control and make and create that security and, you know, and cut off the space of possibility, truly. And I got to the point where I feel like I was playing with a dead mouse because the partners were just like became autopilot robots just doing what I wanted to do when I said to do it. And I was like, well, this sucks. That's where I had, you know, pretty much mimicked my parents' relationship and went, oh my God, look what I've done, and then what else is possible? And now the relationships that I engage in are completely from this other space of freedom and possibility, and the aliveness in those relationships is exponentially more satisfying and gratifying, like knowing that you know, when did fixing something into permanence become the goal as opposed to being in that energy of creation and generation and always knowing that something greater is possible tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that...
I concur. I agree. So what would be possible if we allowed that space, you know? And what if there was nothing to be afraid of?
Yeah. What if? What if?
What if? That feels great.
Well, if we don't have so much expectations, we could really tap into what we would like to choose, create now, and what's possible also for us in the terms of what we're willing to receive and be with ourselves and with other people. And hey, let's wake up and go on an adventure, even with the person we're with or not with, or maybe we have some other people with our bodies around that we can play with. And invite even more people into our space there.
It's like when you said that, Lisa, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's basically all the conclusions that we come to. As soon as we say, oh, I'm in relationship with this person, this is my so-and-so, you know, my partner or my boyfriend, my husband, it's like immediately when you decide, okay, this is my relationship with so-and-so, like all those decisions, conclusions, judgments, projections, you come up automatically what you've decided this person should be for you. So I would like recommend being aware of what comes up for you, what have you decided this person is for you when you call them, oh, this is my relationship, rather than, What I like to call the people I have in my life is my playmates. It creates this totally different energy where it's more like open and space rather than, okay, this is the person that does, this is the person that is. Just notice the energy of how conclusional that is, how contracted that is, rather than asking, okay, so, oh, I wonder what's possible to create with this person. I wonder what game I can play with that person, kind of like kids do. You know, they basically use everybody as a playmate. Potential playmates,
yeah.
True.
But they really do. Kids really do that. And it's also the energy of, like, what if we always encouraged and empowered our kids, or kids in general, to be more and trust more of what they know, instead of trying to put them in a form or structure where they should learn how everything works as a limitation in this reality.
Big kids and small kids.
Again?
Big kids and small kids.
Big kids and small kids. Yes.
Yeah. I can give an example on a big kid. It's Susanna.
No, that's not true.
She's been at the zoo today again, meeting her peeps.
And I'm like, oh, we're really happy they didn't keep you there. Wonder what animal you were most, like, alike today?
Exactly, that's more a today question. Who am I today? What animal am I today?
What animal?
That's what I would like
today
to play with.
Are we going to get to know that?
After the break, she will reveal it. No, I'm just joking.
Exactly.
Not revealing that today.
So what if we throw it in a process here?
And you can always call us if you have some relationship problems you want to talk to us about.
Yes, you can. Yes. Maybe I'll call in after the break.
I said that to Tamara before. I can use some facilitation on that one. I can call in as a caller.
So if we don't have enough space to talk, we can call in.
What I think with people, this idea of, you know, trusting you in relationships, is, and Jonas brought this up too, is really about creating relationship by design. And that's, like, after my marriage ended 7 years ago, that's really where I went, because I thought I had met and was creating the relationship that was going to work for me, that was not like my parents, that was not like anybody else's relationship I had ever seen. I really thought that I was creating something entirely different and was going down a different path. And then when my marriage ended, I was kind of stunned, would be an understatement. I was like, wait a minute, like, what? How did that go so awry? And I realized that it's so insidious, it's so pervasive, these different, you know, I have to do it, the relationship has to look a certain way. We don't realize how insidious that is. And so really having the willingness to create the relationship by design, if it is a romantic relationship, or if it is even a friendship, to be able to have conversations that create it as you're going along, as opposed to having a destination in mind, a result, an outcome in mind, and then judge yourself along the way, as opposed to whether you're getting it right or not. We will talk about that after the break. We'll be right back with you in a few minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here today talking about trusting you in relationships. I'm Tamara Yonker. And during the break, we were just looking at what else we'd like to share with you all during this last segment. And one of the things that came up was, again, if you don't have an idea, if you don't have a conclusion, or you haven't decided already what the outcome of the relationship is to be before you even begin, a lot of people, the moment they meet someone, the moment they enter into what could potentially turn into a relationship, they are doing all these future projected realities of what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to go, how it's supposed to turn out, and it doesn't allow for the possibility of creating as you go along. When you're creating relationship based on conclusion rather than possibility, that's the trap that you can end up with. And so the willingness to come together on a regular basis and really, communicate your desires with one another. And there's a willingness to lose that I became really aware of. Again, I was sharing before the break about the demise of my marriage. And I realized this is where I gave up a lot of me, and where maybe I was asking my partner to give up him was this idea that, you know, it was supposed to last a lifetime, and it was supposed to look like this, and all those conclusions that I was functioning from, and there was an unwillingness to lose in there. And so now when I'm in relationship, creating relationship, again, not necessarily just exclusively romantic relationships, but relationships with family and friends and colleagues and all of this, is I enter into that with a willingness to lose. If I'm truly trusting me and I know what my targets are in my life and what I'd like to create and essentially the joy and the expansive playfulness that I'd like to have as my day-to-day life, then as I'm creating with the other person, then there is a willingness to speak about that, to share about that, to communicate those desires, knowing that that person may, it's being an allowance of their choice that they may or may not choose something, with me over time, long term. And there is that willingness to lose. But if you're not making something specific that you're getting from that other person, then you don't have that sense of scarcity that exists in your world when you've made the other person the source of something, and so you have this fear of losing them in your life.
When you say that, Tamara, it's funny because usually people think that, you know, when they choose a person to be in relationship with, they usually go and look, like, how does it feel to be with them? You know, oh, I feel so good. It feels so cozy, or, you know, whatever it is that this person mm-hmm. makes you feel. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you think you only get that energy from that particular person. You basically tie that to that person. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Rather than, okay, so what if it's not about that person? What if it's about an energy you're aware of that you would like to have in your life? To ask, how can I physically actualize that? How can I invite that energy to my life? Person.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. After my first marriage ended, I had really invested a lot in him being everything. I mean, sort of the old-fashioned way we're talking about. And what I realized was if I was willing to do a little bit of work, short of sex, and probably if it hadn't have been however many years ago, I would have figured out that too, I could get every single one of what I then talked about needs met from my friends. I just had to have a lot of friends. But we most people, when they think of relationship, they think of one person supplying everything for them,
mm-hmm.
which is not
it's
at
like
all.
It's like Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Yeah. And I haven't found any, you know, well, I suppose anything is possible, but I don't see these, when you make someone your everything or when someone else expects you to be their everything, that level of expectation is like a lead weight. An expectation is like poison that when you infect something with it, it kills it. Quickly or slowly, over time, it's not going to last. Expectation is like judgment on steroids. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the difference, again, between this idea of creating relationship by design based on freedom and choice and possibility and living in that generative energy with always asking the question,
yeah.
what else is possible now and what will create more for all?
It's so true. Like, imagine, like, how often have you guys had people who made you their everything? Like, really, this is like one of the, like really feeling like you're in a cave and now I have to do everything for the person that they want me to do. It's like, why won't you do this to yourself? Why would you do this for somebody, like, with somebody else or to somebody else? Blah, 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 blah.
But you know, if you listen to the old songs, they're all about you are my everything, and if only you me, I'll have life. And it's like, it's pretty amazing if you listen to the lyrics of the songs, the quote love songs and the pop songs, a while ago, you know, before hip hop. But message everybody got: you should find someone who is your everything. You should swoon. You know, just. What is love? 5 feet of heaven and a ponytail. I mean, it just, these things are coming back.
I mean, what's love got to do with it?
Yeah. What are the point? What's love got to do with it? Yeah.
It's like the whole reality is a musical.
And the problem is, if you're looking for one person to be that everything for you, basically, your options of people that could be that for you becomes really small and limited. I would say that it's really, really small and limited because I'm probably the only person that can be everything, you know? And so it's only
hey, you're Jonas.
Possibility suddenly, you know?
It's Jonas time.
And I cannot be together with everyone. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, you can.
No,
step it up, Jonas.
Step it up.
You're an infinite being.
I think it's so funny because there are really not one person in the world that could satisfy and be enough for you. Like that, if you are going to have one person to be that, you need to limit yourself a lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
Well, and we are truly the only ones who have the capacity to be that for ourselves. And when you have all of that, like when you're not cutting off any part of yourself, you're not diminishing any part of yourself, you're not dimming yourself down for any reason, anyone else's request, then you really do have all of you present and available to live in every moment intimately with another, and so you don't feel that sense of scarcity. You don't feel that sense of, I need to get something from someone else. And so that fear of loss is less present, if it's even present at all. It's probably totally absent. I mean, that's more of the experience that I have now, is that I don't have any of that fear of loss, because everything feels more like a contribution to me, an addition to my life, something that enhances it and enriches it and increases the satisfaction that I'm already having, because I have all of me here and present in every moment. And that's what truly trusting you in relationships to me has become.
That's cool. Absolutely.
And there we have another song, Satisfaction.
It's just a musical.
So, Jonas had a great clearing, a great process that he came up with. Would you like to share that with us, please?
I would love to share that with everybody.
Sing it, Jonas, sing it.
No pressure at all, suddenly.
No.
So let me read it first. What creation are you using to invoke and perpetrate and endure the wrongness of you in relationships are you choosing? Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Everything that is sounds Gazillion, what are you destroying on cradle?
Yeah.
Right and wrong, good and bad, talk about all natural spores and beyond. One more time.
What creation are you using to invoke and perpetrate and endure the wrongness of you in relationships are you choosing? Oh, everything that is times good feeling, can we destroy and create it all?
Yes. Yes.
I don't run good about put and poke all thy shorts, boys and beyond. Hey, it's for everybody that doesn't, for any reason which wouldn't be strange enough, by the way, don't understand what this means and what we're saying. It basically addresses the energy where we're telling ourselves all the time that we're wrong in one way or another, and it's just this inside voice of you sometimes, and you just do that all the time on yourself, and then you also decide that you basically have to endure this, which would be the energy of where it's where you decide it's just something that I have to take, you know, it's nothing I can do with it. I just have to live with that. That's how it is, you know, that's how life is, you know.
You know, and there's so much energy of resignation in that. That's what I see so often with people around this topic of relationship, is they've just resigned or they've just given up. Like it's something, they don't know how to create something else, so they just resign to themselves to it's not possible. And or they do avoidance altogether. And I say to people all the time, I said, you know, when you're doing this avoidance game with yourself, it's basically like just saying that you don't trust yourself enough to be able to create something different next time. Because there's always going to be a next time. I mean, you can go out and play in the world of relationship as often as you wish with as many people as you choose. And every single time it can be a whole, well, every single time it actually will be a whole new experience, because as two people or, you know, come together, only those two people can create. It's much like chemistry, right? Like, you can't create the same thing with multiple people because the ingredients, meaning each person, are different. And that's, to me, what's so joyful and fun about going out and creating relationship by design, is that every single person that I encounter, I know I have the capacity to create something different with that person because it's a different ingredient. That unique individual is one of 7.2 billion people on this planet. I can't create the same thing with anyone else. It's impossible because we're different beings.
I'm just sitting here and wondering what my ingredients are. Like, what, you know, I'm sure I have some Nutella there and something else.
Well, and how much do other people, like, inspire different parts of us, different flavors of us out, you know? Like, with some people, there's a more playful energy. With some other people, maybe there's a there's a different energy that shows up. Like, we're such multifaceted beings, and being able to play and express with all of those different energies is what makes it fun. So back to that whole thing about expecting someone to be your everything, or them expecting you to be their everything, that becomes burdensome, not light and expansive.
Chimmer, you don't want to be my everything?
No, thanks. Nothing personal.
Nothing personal.
How boring is it to have one person your everything, too?
Yeah.
That's one thing
I've
found.
It's like eating the same thing every day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So we're getting to the close of the show today. Anyone have any last parting comments? Anything else they'd like to share before we wrap up here in the next couple minutes?
I have one thing. What creation are you using to invoke and perpetrate and endure the wrongness of you in relationship are you choosing?
Mm.
Everything that is unconsumed with you destroying a cradle.
Yeah,
totally.
Yep.
Right, good or bad, put a book, all nice shirts, place, and beyond.
And
that's
and
all for me.
What if there just simply isn't any right way or wrong way to do relationship? What if you really can just explore what it is, what's fun for you to create, and just trust that. Just trust that above all else, rather than trying to duplicate what you've seen other people do and where you everywhere you've aligned and agreed where there's a right way to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you can do a relationship without reference points, you have it.
Beautiful. Yes. Relationship without reference points.
Now that's a teleclass or book or something.
It sure is.
Yes.
Alrighty, well, I think that's it for us for today. It's always a pleasure to share this time with my colleagues and those of you listening out there in the world. We'll be back again in 1 week, same time, same station. Until then, bye for now.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to Creme de la Creme today. You might like to listen to it more than once. To experience even more change, join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out creatingaconsciousworld.com and accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access. What would it take for you to choose to be the creme de la creme in your life and to choose it again and again? Will you?